All right, thank you, I'm going to say, for being here on an off night, a Tuesday night. We're usually here on Thursday, and so thanks for being in your place and being faithful. And we're going to get back into the book of Proverbs here. They're going to hand out the lessons with the blanks. Can I get a little more monitor? I don't know if it's loud enough out there or if it's just me. We're going to get back to the book of Proverbs. We've been talking about the wisdom of avoidance for quite a while. It's been a couple weeks since we've been in it. Of course, Proverbs is the book of wisdom, and it teaches us not how to have a high IQ, but how to take what God teaches and take his truth and actually make it a part of our everyday life. We've looked at several different categories, things God tells us to avoid. And so we're continuing on with number 12. We had just got started in it, and it cited prudence, having prudence. Proverbs 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. By way of very brief review, what is prudence? I gave you a couple of things there. Prudence is having wisdom by using caution and foresight and discretion in decision making. Prudence has to do with how we make decisions. If I could still, I'm still not getting a lot on this monitor up here, if you could just help me. In our decision making, because typically when we make a decision, it's just like, you know, something comes our way, like, hey, let's do this. There's a lot more to decisions to that, because decisions have consequences for the good and for the bad. And so prudence looks through that and helps me to think towards the future to make the proper decision in the present. Because it also is having the ability to make wise decisions by considering the consequences before acting. And we just said that. Most people don't think about consequences. When we're making a decision, we think about the moment. Like, you know, what's going on right now? What do I want right now? What's my feeling right now? In some cases, what is the pressure that's coming my way right now? And that's a really horrible way to make decisions. You have to think through the consequences, the long-term effects. Prudence is also the ability to govern and discipline oneself through wisdom and reason. And so you think it through as, I have to make a decision. Let me use prudence, think forward, and then let me think of the consequences. And then once you know what the right thing to do is, if you have prudence, you will have the discipline to follow through on the decision that you've made. I've talked with people before, and they'll talk about things and the possible decision they're going to make, and they're like, you know, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And then, you know, a week later you find out, like, yeah, I just changed my mind. I did something else. Once you decide what the right decision is, you gather all the information, you've looked to the future, prudence says, even though I want to change, I know what the right decision is, and I'm going to continue with that decision. I'm not going to change. Now, let's look at some things about what the verses in Proverbs teach about prudence. Look at the first one there. Prudence leads us to control, all right, we ready? Our anger. Proverbs 12:16, a fool's wrath is presently known. In other words, the word known means perceived by experience. When a fool is upset, you know. They don't want to hide it. But a prudent man covereth shame. Part of being a mature, not just Christian, but being a mature adult is being able to control your emotions. Not just acting out because you feel a certain way. Now, that's not to say that sometimes you don't feel a certain way. But you don't allow how you feel to make your decisions. Because prudence says, I can act out in my anger, but it's not going to turn out very well. It's going to cause more trouble. By the way, let me just say this. An angry and a bad attitude for a Christian is not very attractive. We live in a world where people just have attitude. In fact, in our society, some people glorify their attitude. Well, I just tell you how I think, and that's just how it is. Yeah, because a fool's wrath is presently known. You ever see somebody and they're, you know, you might be talking to them with something you don't agree on, nothing serious, and then they raise their voice. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's like, listen, you're not winning the conversation because you're yelling. That's being emotional. That's showing your attitude. And so a fool has no problem just letting their attitude be shown. You know why? Because they're not prudent. They don't care. They don't care what it's going to cause. They don't care the damage that it's going to do. They do not look to the future. They live in the present, so they don't care. They're not looking at the long-term consequences. They don't care about the consequences of their anger because they have no desire to control their anger. Everyone gets upset. Is there someone here who never gets upset? You ever see people that are quiet? Like, man, they never get upset. How many know I'm talking about? It's just that it's waiting to erupt. We had a friend when we were growing up in high school. His name was Ray. And back in the early days of high school, we would ride the moped motorcycles, those little bikes that went like really fast. And he had one. And Ray never got, Ray always just real quiet and smiled. Never said anything. Never got mad. So what we did is we moved his bike. And we said, he came and said, someone just stole your bike. He goes, what? He went out and he looked. And he came in, just as calm as can be. And then he put his fist to the wall. Okay. Ray got angry too. He just waited to show it. But how do we control that? Okay? You're not supposed to let that control your decisions, how you act, what you say, and yet it happens so often. The prudent man is the complete opposite. The Bible says, but a prudent man covereth shame. That means he conceals it. And shame means a grace or dishonor. He doesn't want to be dishonored or disgraced by allowing his emotions to overflow, and so he keeps them under control. It's disgraceful when you lose your, and we all have in some way, I guess, but some people are really good at it, and they do it very often. Here's what the Bible says. You ready? Be ye angry. Some of us are like, man, if the verse just stopped right there. I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, I don't sign a lot of Bible, I'm not a Bible signer, but if I did, Ephesians 4:26a. Okay, that means the first part. Be ye angry. Oh, there's always a catch, right? And what? Sin not. And let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't let it linger. You know, we get upset sometimes, but we need to control it so that we don't do something that's wrong. And some people are real good. They'll do something and they'll blow up a relationship. They'll blow up a time. I'm sorry, but I was just upset. That doesn't make it right. Okay? So we're supposed to control it. Anger is very, very, very destructive. It is very destructive at its core. The prudent man understands that anger makes him look disgraceful and also causes him to act despicable. Now, I don't believe. Sometimes people do something, they'll commit a crime, and here's their defense. Temporary insanity. How many know I'm talking about? By the way, you know the law back in the day used to be about, I don't care about your excuse, did you do it? Unless it's self-defense. But, that defense I don't think should hold up in court, but when you're angry and you act out, you are temporarily insane. Because you're doing something you wouldn't naturally do. Because you're not controlling how you feel. Now listen to this. This is very important. Nothing else I said was, but this is. It's like, there is nothing about anger that leads to righteousness. Nothing. Nobody ever gets angry and just lets it take over and they go out and do something good. It doesn't happen. But you know why? Because anger is a lack of self-control. That's why you'll see people that have addictive type personalities a lot of times where they struggle with things like that. You'll see that they also have anger issues because it's a self-control issue. And when you're mad, you're not going to do the right thing ever. You're going to do the right thing and you're going to do something which is unrighteous. Right here, James chapter 1 verse 19 and 20. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, we confuse those first two, right? We're slow to hear and swift to speak. But we're to be slow to wrath. In other words, we're supposed to be under control. Most of the time, we don't want to hear, and we start running our mouth because we get angry at the drop of a hat. For the wrath of man, verse 20, worketh not the righteousness of God. We don't want to listen to others. We want to dominate the conversation because we're mad and we're not slow to anger. Proverbs 37, verse 8. And there's so many verses in the Bible that you could look at. Cease from anger. Yeah, let me translate for that. Stop. Okay, cease. And forsake wrath. Get rid of it. Fret not thyself. Fret means to get hot, to be incensed, to be angry. Fret not thyself in any wise to do what? Evil. Again, always a connection between being mad and doing that which is wrong. An angry attitude always leads to sinful actions. Let's be very careful about that. Do what you got to do to let God, through His Spirit, get you under control. By the way, I think the more time you spend with God, the easier it will be for you to control your anger. Because you're walking with God, His Word is getting in your mind, and the attributes and the character qualities of the Word of God will be transformed to your life, and it'll cause you to act out in a right way. All right? But anger must be dealt with. Nothing good. Now, what else does the proverb say about anger here before we move on? Let me just give you some verses. It leads us to act foolishly. Proverbs 14:17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Now, is every time somebody gets upset, are they showing that they are a fool? No, because we delineated in Proverbs that talks about the wise man, foolish man, and the simple man. But even though a person might be wise or they would not be described necessarily as being foolish, sometimes in certain areas that doesn't mean at that time they may not act foolish. You understand the difference? It's a difference between sometimes doing something that's acting foolish and completely being a fool. And so what he's saying here is like he that is soon angry, you're acting foolishly. Don't let that get to you. Next, it leads to conflict. That's just a natural, right? A wrathful man, what? Stirreth up strife. But he that is slow to anger appeases strife. You ever been around something where there's a little contention and it starts to calm down a little bit, and then somebody comes in and just starts ratcheting it up? How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, they just come in and everything was starting to be okay, and here comes someone and they're just going to keep running their mouth, and it's like, you know, be quiet. You're causing problems. Everything was winding down. Remember, in the early days of our church, most of you wouldn't have come. It was right in the middle of the gang infestation on Raymond and Anaheim, and we had a bunch of former gang guys, and there was other guys coming. And I remember we had a couple guys come, and there was a little conflict there in the parking lot, and it's like, you know, so we kind of got over there and like, hey, let's calm this, and we calmed it down. It was like, come on, you know, they were newer Christians, and you know, it's like, get this thing calm. And then one guy came in and just started running his mouth that had nothing to do with it. And we're like, hey, stop it. And he started ratcheting up. Now, fortunately for us, somebody saw him there. I wouldn't have done it, but he just reached over and whacked him in the eye. Bap! Like, okay, he shut up. Now, shouldn't do that at church. But it's like, we had this thing calm. But that's what an angry person does. They just run over everybody. I mean, everything can be calm, and they come in, and all of a sudden, it's 0 to 100. Because they don't care about what they're causing. They have no prudence whatsoever. So be very careful. Next, it leads to sin. He says, an angry man again stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Now again, I've already pointed out the principle. The principle is this: if you can't control your anger, you have a lack of self-control, and a lack of self-control is not just confined to anger. And you'll have a hard time controlling yourself to live and do the right things because of that mentality. And by the way, you can overcome that with the Spirit of God. You read in Ephesians, the fruit of the Spirit, that develops in our life as we walk with God and as we grow in our faith, and it gets better. Next, it leads to destruction in all areas of life. It says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? It's just, these three all just go together. And it just causes, it's cruel, it's outrageous, and you just can't stand before this. It just causes problems in your life. It's just so important. Every relationship will be soured. Everything you do will be soured because you have that lack of self-control. It corrupts those you are closely associated with. Look what he says. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Why? Lest thou, what? Learn his ways. We must be very, very careful. Those we are around catch that spirit. Especially, let me just say this, especially children will catch that, right? If you're in your home and somebody is constantly blowing up and constantly angry and constantly, those kids will bring that into their life because they've been taught by osmosis, by just being around it, that's just how you react to things. And it just perpetuates itself. And so you have to learn how to deal with that. And just, you know, and by the way, I'm sure I won't get, you know, you hang around with people that are angry and get in trouble. If you're hanging around with them, what happens? Whatever trouble they get in, you're there. And now you got to jump in. You're part of it, right? So be very careful about that. Next, it's a sign of weakness of character. It's a sign of weakness of character. We've looked at this verse already, so I will not belabor it. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. You could have muscles coming out of your ears, right? I mean, you know, your ears can flex. You'd be the strongest guy, but if you can't control yourself, you're weak in God's eyes. You're a weak person. When I drink a can of soda, I just chew the can. Okay, great. You're tough. But yet you can't control yourself. That's weak. The greatest victory you'll ever win is over your emotions, over your flesh. And by the way, Samson was like a one-man wrecking crew. He had no army. He didn't need an army. He was the army. And yet what happened? Couldn't control himself. And it led to his destruction. He lacked in character. So, before we go to the next thing, prudence sees all the negatives of not controlling anger and decides to be under control. We have to get to the point where sometimes it's just not worth it. You know, they're wrong. I know. Everybody I deal with is. Trust me. I was kidding, okay? But, you know, I just have to tell my... Do you really? You don't have to. Is it going to help? No. Sometimes it's better just to... You know, it's nice sometimes. It's like, I could really say something right there. I could say it, and I want to say it, and it's true, and you don't say it. It's like, you know what? That's a victory. Just walk away. Let it go. Next, prudence. We're dealing with the top two here, okay? Anger, and let's deal with the one that none of us have mastered, I'm pretty sure. Prudence leads us to be careful what we say. That is a hard one. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Here's what the point is. A foolish man and a prudent man handle information differently. They just do. By the way, one of the reasons people have trouble running their mouth is, you can reference it back to what we just said, anger. They can't control what they say. But the Bible says we're supposed to control what we say. I don't know if I think I may have the verses there, but read James chapter, I believe it's 2, where he talks about the tongue and what we say. And basically, the whole principle of there in James is this: to the degree that you can control what you say is to the degree you can control your life, what you do. Think of that. Because the hardest thing to control is our mouths. You know, I say, like, you know, thoughts come right here, and then they come out here, right? But for some people, they go from here to here so quick. Like, what you need to do is put a filter. Have you ever met someone who doesn't have a filter? They just say, hey, what's up? It's like, brother, say something. Really? You didn't need to say that. We don't think. So we have to be careful. But information comes our way, and a foolish man and a prudent man will handle the information differently. It says a prudent man concealeth knowledge. Concealeth means to cover for protection. He doesn't say things that don't need to be said. He doesn't say things that can be hurtful. Sometimes you know things about situations or whatever, and it doesn't need to be spread. And I'm not talking about something that should be spread. You know what I'm saying? Something horrific happens, you know, and it's like, you know, I'm not keeping this quiet. Many years ago, I was talking to somebody in the office, and they started to stray into an area. I'm like, yeah, hey, just let me explain how it works here. If you say something that's borderline illegal, I'm going to call. Mandatory, and I'm going to do it. So I don't hide what you're doing here. But I'm talking about stuff that does, you know what I'm talking about when I say that. I'm talking about gross, you know. Someone killed somebody, like, hey, bro, I got you covered. No, you know what I'm talking about. So a prudent man, he looks at it and says, look, this is not something everybody needs to know. It's not something that's to that degree. And so help them out. But not the foolish proclaimeth. That means calls out, to read aloud. They just throw it out there for everybody to see. Here it is. People just talk too loosely about other people. We do. We do. By the way, if you're someone that talks like that, don't be surprised if someone talks about you. And I understand. You're not gossiping. I get it. It's a prayer request. Let's pray for this brother. Why? What'd he do? Well, you didn't hear? Get some coffee and sit down. This is going to take some time. You know, pray. Bless your heart. Okay? No. And by the way, a lot of what we say may be true. Weaknesses. Maybe they reacted in a situation with somebody that wasn't right. And you're going to go tell everybody, and they may have made that situation right with somebody. But you're not making it better. Just because something is true doesn't mean that it's not critical. And what about you? Have you ever done something, not horrific, but you know, you'd rather, you did it and it's like, man, that's dumb. And you got it right. You don't want people to know about it because they don't need to. It's dealt with, right? You want us to talk about it? You want other people to talk about it? But yet we don't treat other people with that same deference. Just because you heard something doesn't, and by the way, most of the time, the stuff you hear is like, how do you know that? Well, so-and-so told me because they heard it from this person who heard it from that person. Who got a text from another person who was reading an email from overseas. Really? You ever play that game telephone, right? You get a circle of 20 people and you say like red dog and they have to, you have to whisper it in their ear, then they tell them, then they tell them. You start off with red dog and next thing you know, you got Pepsi Cola. It's like, that's what's happening. But we talk way, way, way too much. And some things that we say that are true, It's just people who happen to react in a moment of weakness. And by the way, when someone says it, they never tell it to you completely how it is. They always exaggerate. You know, like, well, you know, I was talking to so-and-so, and he said that you just, like, they really talk like that? Well, no, you did. Come on now. Okay, we got a few more minutes. I'm sorry. Do you know what the word devil means? Not someone you know. It means accuser. It means slanderer. Think about that. So here we go. You ready? Oh, there's a little bullet there. I want you to get this. You, and you could put me too, we are never more like the devil when we are slandering somebody or accusing them. Oh, Satan does that, right? Oh, he's sinful, and God goes, I know. Oh, he says he loves you, but I know what he is. He's flesh and blood. I know, I can see everything. But that's how Satan is. He's a slanderer. He's an accuser of the brethren. I hope that I'm not like him. Now, the Bible may not specifically say anything about social media, but I think the principles apply to social media. Because this is where we're critical. You know, social media can be a blessing. Like Sunday I was scrolling through some of the churches I follow and pastors. I wanted to hear the good news about Easter. But you know, if you're following the wrong people, all you hear is negativity. They criticize everything. Hey, we had 20 people saved in church. Are they really get saved? You know, we had a great day in church. What did you do, Easter eggs? It's a good thing. It's a good holder for candy. You know, it's like everything's got to be critical. You know, and then they criticize others. And for people that are unsaved, it's worse. Let me give you a couple thoughts of this, if you don't mind. What good does it do for, and man, I shouldn't say you, because I know it's you, it's others. But the principle. What good does it do for someone to get on social media and blast somebody? You know what? I'll say this. That is the most unchristian thing ever. Let me take it a step. It is godless. And it's about as biblical, you know, as eating McDonald's. It's rotten to the core. If I have a problem with Angel, I don't. He has a problem with me. No. If I had a problem with Angel, what good does it mean to go on social media? That Angel guy is a real jerk. He's not. What's the biblical principle here? You with me? I go to Angel. Hey, bro, is there something between us? I don't want there to be anything between. No, it's just, but you know what we do? Here's what we're doing. We're going to gather people to our side, you know? And then you look at the comments from a bunch of ignoramuses. Oh, brother. You know, one time I was at church and Angel looked sideways. I think he doesn't like me either. Like, it makes no sense. It's just ridiculous. You get on TikTok or other app, you know, that's the big thing. People want to get on TikTok and talk about their life. You know, well, my boyfriend, I hope he runs. You know, well, my husband mistreated me. Why in the world would you get on TikTok or whatever it is? I don't have TikTok. Isn't that a clock? No, I have other one. Twitter, okay? I'm Twitter. I'm comfortable there. But it's like, you know, a 30-second video telling how horrible, he didn't buy me flowers. Why don't you let him get up and say, I didn't buy flowers because she's acting like a hag. I'm kidding. If he got on TikTok and said, how dare he talk about me? How does that help a marriage? Tell me. It's rotten. Talk to each other, right? It's just, I never understand this. It's like they're a new babysitting service. By the way, this is free. Are you with me? If I were single, and I'm not, thankfully, I'm glad I lived in a different time. I was going to say generation. I'm your generation. I'm just the older end of it, okay? But I'm glad I lived at a different time when I was looking for a mate. I probably would. Well, no, my wife would be great in any generation. Make sure I said that. And I saw someone that was like even remotely critical on social media. It wouldn't be a red flag. It would be a stop sign. It's like, that's not how people deal with problems. That's immaturity. And we talk about them. You know, I gotta be real careful here. There's some people I wouldn't even talk to in a sense. No, some people have taken shots on social media and like, because what they do is you talk to them in person and they twist what you say and they throw it on social media. How many know what I'm talking about? And it's like, I'm not going to talk to you. Not that I don't want to talk to you. I want to be a Christian. But everything you say is like, why does it have to go to social media? I mean, weren't we talking like you and me? Whatever happened to that? You can't keep anything to yourself. Or not, they can't. And then we say this one, then we'll move on happily, and we'll be done. And those, I keep saying you, and it's not you guys, but you know what I'm saying. And people who sit there and believe what they see on social media without knowing both sides of the story are just as bad. By the way, can I just tell you something? If every time someone got on social media and said something, and I'm very careful who I follow. If someone gets into Nonsenseville, I'm like, I don't need that. You know what I'm saying? I already have to fight my spirit, so I don't want that. But if every time someone got on social media and said something like that, and all the comments were like, well, why don't you talk to your husband about it? I'm sure it's not that bad. They wouldn't post that nonsense. You know why they post it? Oh, you go, girl. Oh, he does not love you. You deserve better. You don't even know what's going on. How can you give advice? There are two sides to every story. And we don't want to hear that. We just want to react. And look, we're done. People can be very, very, very biased. It's normal, right? We're just biased. My point of view is always the best. I have the story right. They're the ones that were mean. I handled it correctly. And the older you are, the better you handled it, all right? So let's be very, very careful. Let's deal with positivity. Not always listen to negative things. All right, let's stand together. Thank you for being here. I hope you understand what I was saying, because I'm struggling with it. Let us pray together this evening. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for prudence. Lord, these are two areas that are very, very difficult for humans. We're flesh. We're sinful. And Lord, it is so easy to get upset so quick, to get mad. And it's also easy to run our mouth and say things when it would have been a really good time just to be quiet. Our Lord, I pray you'd help us to grow in grace, grow in the fruits of the Spirit, grow in our love for people, that we give benefits of the doubt, and that we try as Christians to handle things the Christian way. If we have an issue with someone, we go talk to them personally very kindly and work it out. Thank you for those that are here tonight. Bless us through the rest of this week. Be with the ladies. So they'll be going to the ladies' conference. I pray you'd bless them, give safety in their travel, and Lord, help them be strengthened and encouraged as they come back. Give us a great Sunday this Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.